Well, thanks, Jeff, and thanks, Cody, and thanks to all of you, delegates, alternates, guests, activists in the party. America deserves better. America deserves better than Barack Obama, and America deserves better than Hillary Clinton. That is for sure. And it's great to be with all of you. I actually just came from Iowa. As funny as this is, I was in Cleveland last week talking. There's a gathering of conservative leaders that get together every 4 years before the national convention. So I came to Cleveland, and then I went and I flew to Des Moines. And you'll get a kick out of this. In the truck this morning, I noticed my wife had put this in. Terry and Chris just hosted all of the governors across the country. You can't see it from afar, but it says Iowa NGA 2016. That's the blankets they gave out on Thursday night. We were in the Capitol. So, Terry, thank you for hosting a great session for all the governors across America. He did Iowa proud and even put out a great show of fireworks out in the Capitol. And we even had root beer floats, which I don't think I've had since I was a kid growing up in Plainfield. So that was pretty exciting. But I brought with me today, my wife is actually at the Wisconsin delegation with a friend of mine who grew up about 15 miles down the road from me after I moved from Plainfield, Iowa to Delavan, Wisconsin. You probably never heard of him. He and I both worked as McDonald's as kids. Our speaker this morning is Paul Ryan at the Wisconsin delegation. So Tonette's with him. But I brought my son, Alex. Alex, wave your hand over. Alex is particularly happy. Alex is particularly happy being with you all this morning because I get up really early and run, and then I eat oatmeal for breakfast. He saw your breakfast, and his eyes lit up, and he said, forget about hanging with you, Dad. I'm going to have some of this Iowa breakfast. It's pretty good. But Alex is our youngest son. He is a senior at the University of Wisconsin. He's the head of the Wisconsin College Republicans. But most importantly, for all the folks here who do any work with College Republicans, and Jeff and I were talking about this on the way in, he just got elected one of the four regional vice chairs of the College Republican National Committee. So he handles all of the Midwest, including Iowa. I know Steve real well, your state chair, who I just saw Friday night, who's doing a great job. And we look forward to College Republicans helping out with the state legislative races, with Chuck Grassley's race, and with the presidential race. So I was glad to bring Alex along with. He's going to have a fair number of folks from the Midwest at a conference just at the end of this month. So, Alex, thanks for being here as well. I'm excited to be with you here this morning, and you talked about unity, Jeff, and you're exactly right. The press sometimes has asked me of late what I think about our nominee, and I said, well, he wasn't my first pick. I was my first pick. So I said, that's pretty easy to figure out, right? And it's some of you know in Wisconsin, I picked somebody else, and I helped him win the Wisconsin primary just as that same candidate had won the Iowa caucuses. But I said a year ago, almost to the date, on August 6th, after I left kicking off our Wisconsin State Fair, I came here to Cleveland, and I stood on the stage near where we're going to be for the convention, on the stage at the Republican National Committee's first debate, and I, along with a whole bunch of others, but I in particular, said that I thought any of the candidates on the Republican side at that time were better than Hillary Clinton. I'm here to tell you this morning that I meant it then, and I mean it now. You know, I didn't have my fingers crossed behind my back. I actually said what I meant, and I mean what I say. And it is clear that whether Donald Trump was your first choice or your second choice or your 17th choice, I hope you understand, as Jeff mentioned, that Donald Trump is better than Hillary Clinton. And I think even better after this week because Terry and I know Mike Pence extremely well. Mike Pence is a Midwesterner through and through. He is exactly the kind of leader that we need to make sure that when Donald Trump's the next president and Mike Pence is the vice president, he will make it clear that those good, sound Midwestern values are reflected in this administration going forward. When we take power out of Washington and we send it back to Des Moines and Madison and state houses all across America, like our founders intended. Our founders intended that. You know, we just celebrate the 240th anniversary of this great nation on July 4th. And sometimes I think we forget that the founders intended that power would not be concentrated in the federal government, but rather in the state houses and more deliberately in the hands of the people. And that's what Republicans stand for. You know, some people said, well, why are you here? Why are you speaking? I said, it's not just to support our nominee for president and vice president. It's to remind Americans what Republicans stand for. One of the challenges over the last nearly 8 years of this presidency is the media loves to hone in on the opposition instead of talking about what our propositions are. We propose a much better America, America where power flows not just to the states, but into the hands of the people, where we understand that true freedom and prosperity, they don't come from the mighty and clumsy hand of the government. They come from empowering people to live their own lives and control their own destinies. As Jeff mentioned, I went from about the time I was three. My parents moved us from, I was actually born in Colorado Springs, where my father was the associate pastor at the First Baptist Church in downtown Colorado Springs. And when I was about three, we moved to Plainfield. My dad was the pastor at the First Baptist Church there. And I can remember going from about three until about third grade in 1977. We eventually moved from Plainfield when my dad was called to a church in Delavan, which is down about 7,000. So we went from about 450 to 7,000. I laughed when Mitt Romney 4 years ago called Janesville, where Paul Ryan's from, called Janesville a small town, because Janesville to us was a big time city. It was about 60,000 people and it had a Shakey's. And when we were kids, wasn't quite a Happy Chef, but it was. I still remember pushing the button on the Happy Chef. They don't have any of those anymore with the big old Happy Chefs. I used to love going as a kid. My brother and I would sit there and wait and see what he would talk to us about at the Happy Chef along the way. But I think about growing up in Plainfield and then in Delavan, and we learned early on the importance of hard work. Certainly, for a lot of our friends, we didn't grow up on the farm. My mom did. But my dad being a pastor, we were at the parsonage in town, both in Plainfield and in Delavan, and we learned the importance of hard work early on. Like my first job was working at a place called the Countryside Restaurant, where I washed dishes. And then in high school, I moved up to the big time. I started flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. Fun story, if you see Paul Ryan at the convention, you can kid him about this. Paul and I both worked at McDonald's in high school. He was in Janesville. I was in Delavan. The only difference is he had to flip hamburgers in the back because his manager literally told him he didn't have the interpersonal skills to work the front cash register. I was watching him this year as he sat behind the president at the State of the Union address thinking, what is that manager thinking right now? But I think for Paul and I and for a lot of other folks, whether you grew up on the farm, whether you worked odd jobs like we did in school, whether it was washing dishes or flipping burgers or any number of other great jobs like that, both of my sons started working early. One was worked at a pizza place. Alex worked at a custard stand down the way from us. And I often had other parents would say to me, hey, you know, the boys are in scouts and sports and other activities. Why do you make them work? I said, you got enough money. You don't need them to work. I said, well, it's not for the money, although it was kind of nice not having them dip in my wallet all the time for a little extra spending money. It was for the work ethic. Something that sadly I think is missing from far too many young people, and some people who aren't even that young anymore in America. That is innately a part of who we are and what we stand for. And that's something as Republicans, we need to tell that story. I'm proud to tell you that with the help, and this is why it's so important to have a Republican majority in both houses of your state legislature. We were blessed. In 2010, before that election, we didn't have anything. We had a Democrat governor, Democrat lieutenant governor, two Democrat U.S. senators. Majority of House members were Democrats in Wisconsin. Both houses of the legislature were Democrat, and we flipped everything. And because of that, there's a whole series of things we were able to do. We've cut taxes every year we've been in office. Property income taxes are lower. We reined in out-of-control regulations. We got rid of frivolous and out-of-control lawsuits. We obviously took on the labor unions and took power out of their hands and put them in the hands of everyday taxpayers in our state. We joined a bunch of the others in the Midwest and finally caught up with Iowa in terms of giving workers the freedom to work through right to work, something that who would have thought Wisconsin, Indiana, and Michigan would be the latest states to have right to work laws. We balanced our budget. We did all these other wonderful things, but we did things beyond that too. Having a majority in both houses and having a Republican governor goes a long way because we were able to do things like pass Castle Doctrine and concealed carry so that people could protect themselves, their property, and their families. We were able to take funding away from Planned Parenthood and put it into the hands of non-controversial groups that actually provide women's health assistance. We were even amazingly able to pass legislation that now says in Wisconsin, It's easy to vote, but hard to cheat because you got to show a photo ID in order to vote in the state of Wisconsin. And so I tell you that to encourage. You got a great speaker. Linda does a tremendous job, and she's a great – there you go, Linda. I've gotten to know her well, not only through Iowa, but through the American Legislative Exchange Council. The current chair is from Wisconsin, Leah Vukmir, who looks to Linda as a great role model for how to lead that great organization of conservative lawmakers from across the country. But it would be nice to have not just a speaker, but have a Senate majority leader. You've got a great group of senators out here. And what we've found in Wisconsin is if you've got a Republican governor, a Republican House, and a Republican Senate, there's no end to the good that you can do. And I think part of what I'm going to talk about Wednesday night when I speak before Mike Pence in front of the delegates is what a difference that makes. Not just to talk about what the problems are with this president and talk about the problems with Hillary Clinton, although there are many problems with Hillary Clinton. I was thinking about this 2 weeks ago when I saw the report that the FBI director gave. He basically gave an indictment without issuing an indictment. I mean, if you listen to that, you listen to what he said about Hillary Clinton and that email server. I don't know about all of you, but I wouldn't even give her the password to my iPhone, let alone access to classified information. I mean, if Hillary Clinton was still the Secretary of State 2 weeks ago, Barack Obama would have been legally obligated to terminate her from office because she would no longer have access to classified information. And instead, the audacity of the president was he went out and campaigned with her the very next day. Unbelievable. No other American would get what she got. No other American. There's nobody amongst us or anywhere else across this country who would have had happen what was said in that report from the FBI director and still be able to do what she's doing right now. There's an incredible double standard for the Clintons in this country. And I think people have had enough. They've had enough of this president. They've had enough of an economy nationally that seems to pass by certain groups of people in this country. They've had enough of being worried about an Islamic State and the pressures that it only applies around the world in the Middle East or now increasingly places like Europe. They're afraid. They've had enough of being afraid here in our own country going forward. They're looking for something better. And Republicans, this week, we can show that America deserves better, and we've got the platform to do that. And so it's my honor to be by here today to thank you all for the hard work you're doing. I'm excited about the future. I'm going to come over. Terry asked me just this week if I'd come over and help you all with an event to help support getting a Senate majority, and we're committed to doing that. We're just working on the exact date, probably later at the end of August. We'll do that because we know that for not only your sake, but the sake of this country, for the sake of this country, if we get good, common sense, conservative leadership in our state houses all across America, it will change America as a whole, because one state house after another will be able to enact the kind of common sense policies that will help not only folks from Iowa, but throughout the Midwest and across this country. And then when we have a new Republican president, vice president, when we make sure we keep the House of Representatives, and you're going to hear in a minute from one of the great leaders in the United States Senate, but we got to do all that we can in our power, both in Iowa and in my state across the Mississippi, in Wisconsin, to keep Ron Johnson as well. But you got to make sure you send Chuck Grassley back to the United States Senate. There's no finer leader and no better example of integrity than Chuck Grassley. Senator Grassley spoke to all the governors the other day in Des Moines, and I had to smile because Terry, when he introduced him, looked over at me and chuckled, because when we moved in the early 1970s to Plainfield from Colorado Springs, our state representative was a farmer that lived just down the road from us in Plainfield. He was Chuck Grassley. And the beautiful part of that story is, Chuck, when you ran in, I believe it was 1974, for Congress, right? My father had asked, my dad was the pastor there in town and on the city council, he had asked Senator Grassley if he'd come by and speak at a 4th of July event, and then he was running for Congress, and so my dad had said, there's no way somebody run for Congress is going to fulfill a commitment to show up and speak at a 4th of July event in a community of 450. That's not exactly maximizing your ability to reach voters out there, but Chuck Grassley showed up, just like we all know he would. And to this day, my dad, every time Chuck Grassley's on TV, stands up and points at the TV and said, "There's an honorable man. He kept his word then. He keeps his word now. You got to send Chuck Grassley back to the United States Senate." So it's an honor to be with you. It's nice to be with you here. I didn't have to cross the Mississippi to see you. The way things are going, I feel like I'm in Cleveland. That means I got to go back to Des Moines after this. I even snuck a little time in to see the Iowa Cubs beat the 51s from Las Vegas on Friday night before we headed back over here to Cleveland. So we even have a little fun along the way to watch a little minor league Iowa Cubs baseball along the way out there. But we'll come back to help you out with the Senate. We're pleased to be here today. God bless you all. Thanks for what you've done for us in the past. I personally want to tell you on behalf of Tonette and I how much we appreciate. So many of you came over, particularly during the recall, and knocked on doors. You made phone calls. You made financial contributions. But most of all, some of you prayed for us. And I got to tell you, for Tonette and I, Matt and Alex, that made all the difference in the world. I told Mike Pence this yesterday, just like I did Paul Ryan 4 years ago. I was talking to Mike about this. I said, you're going to get so many people who are going to tell you, now that you're on the ticket, that they're praying for you. I said, my simple advice after what we went through the recall is, every time someone tells you that, reach out and touch them. Because it's amazing how you can feel the power of those prayers. So thank you most of all for those prayers along the way. God bless you. Thanks for coming out. Have a great party at the convention, and we'll see you back in Iowa.